everyone, and welcome back to the Android Central podcast. My name is Shruti Shekhar, and I am the editor-in-chief here at Android Central. And I have just Nick Sutrick with me today. Hello, hello.
Hey, we got something cool, huh?
We do. So Nick and I had the most amazing opportunity to speak with Lucy Liu, who is the voice of a new VR game called The Pirate Queen. So we had a chance to talk with her, and we also got a chance to speak with Eloise Singer, who is the she is the game director, correct, Nick?
Yes.
Is that her exact title? Yeah. So we literally just got off the call with her, and it was honestly just like a 10-12 minute conversation. But it was so absolutely amazing to be able to speak to a game developer, creator, director, and as well as a very iconic actress talking about the VR space, this game in particular, and how unique it is in comparison to so many other VR games. Nick, tell us a little bit about The Pirate Queen, what the game is about, and, you know, about this interview, because it was... You guys are going to hear it shortly. We'll stitch it into this intro that we have. But what's really special is that, at least for me, it was really cool that this is not only a story-based VR game, but it's also led by women. It's changing the trajectory of VR gaming to include more women. And you've played it as well. So take it away. Tell us a little bit about the game, what you thought of the interview, and some of the things that Lucy and Eloise spoke about.
Great. Okay. Yep. So this is on Quest. That's what I played on Quest 3. Lucy stars as Chengxi, who is the Pirate Queen. She was the woman who led the largest and most successful pirate fleet in history. I think for me, this story was really interesting because sort of as she says in the interview, a lot of my thought of pirates is always like, you know, Blackbeard and I don't even know whatever else I know about pirates historically. But this one is a VR narrative adventure game. So you're not going to be doing like lots of sword fighting or crazy things like that. This is mostly focused.
Is that kind of unique? I mean, are most VR games hack and slashy type of games?
I would say so. Most VR games are definitely focused on action. So you're shooting something, you're hitting something, you're throwing something. Like it's typically very like inertia based, I guess.
And one of the things that Lucy was talking about was when you're in the game, you actually can, because it's so immersive, and you know when you use your hands, it's basically her hands, like the Pirate Queen's hands,
right?
And so you can see that, but because it's a female character, your hands are actually
they look like a woman's hands.
And one of the points that Eloise was talking about was how, you know, she was told by people in the industry that, you know, oh, this is going to detract people from playing it because their hands are going to look like women's hands. They're going to have jewelry on their hands. And Eloise was just like, no, this is the game. This is what I want to play. This is what I want to make. And what did you think about that? And also, how was your experience playing it? I mean, you did talk about that a little bit in the interview, but I'd love to hear your experience about it.
I really enjoyed the sort of role playing that you go through in this because, yeah, like the first thing you typically do, and I said this in the interview, is you look at your hands in VR. That's, you know, what you're interacting with everything with. And a lot of times hands in VR are pretty androgynous. Maybe they're male. I would say that most VR games don't put a lot of time and effort into the hands. Whereas in this game, you look at the hands and you're like, dang, like look at the skin detail, like she said, with the rings and stuff. They spent time thinking about how the player was going to look at this world and interact in it. And that played a huge part in you feeling like the character and her sort of narrating the story to herself in your head. And I thought that was cool too, because, you know, you're going through this particular night. It focuses on one night, the night that she rose to power. And then everything that was going through her head at the time, everything happening with her life at the time. And in the game, in particular, I liked that you could pick up objects and she would tell you about them.
Oh, cool.
So a lot of the game is focused around, like, I guess escape rooms, for lack of a better term, where you're in a room, you have to find a certain thing, you find keys to unlock drawers and stuff, and as you, again, pick up objects, you learn the stories behind them and their historical significance. And like, there's even this one cool puzzle where, like, you have to smell different jars of things, and like, it has this,
Did
like,
it, did, do you feel like, did you kind of feel like you could smell the game?
I thought, because I like, one of them is a jar of black tea, and I was like, oh man, I want to go make a jar, a cup of tea now that I opened this jar. So
I love that. I
it
love
was
that.
just some really cool interactivity things that I feel like too many VR games kind of forget about, and that's kind of the magic of VR, is picking up objects, grabbing things, pulling levers, like that sort of stuff is really cool, and this game highlights that aspect of it very well.
Well, this kind of reminds me of a conversation we had, like, I think last year about, it'd be really cool if, like, a Zelda, Breath of the Wild came into VR. But Zelda is, I mean, it is open world, but there is a story in it, right? It's not a hack and slash game.
Right.
And I think this game is going to pave the way for more story-based narrative VR games, which is very exciting. We didn't get to ask them one question, but I'd love to get to know what your thoughts are on this because it's super interesting. This entire game is based on a real character, a real person. It has a lot of history behind the game, dating back to many, 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 many years ago. And so they obviously had to do a lot of research. They had a lot of experts and specialists come in and making sure that, the graphics were accurate to the time of whenever this was taking place, making sure that the storyline was in line. And to the thing that I thought that I think is really interesting, and you were going to ask this question, is there a possibility of making more games like this in the future where it's history based and actually using this medium or this platform to help teach students in classrooms? I think that's such a fantastic question, and I'd love to know your opinion because I know you have a son and you love playing VR games with him. What do you think about that?
I would love to see more stuff like this because I know as a kid, I don't know that I was necessarily the most interested in history, especially the way it's often presented in schools. You read from a book, you maybe talk about it a little in class. Maybe the subject interests you and you'll learn more about it than other, historical events. But I would say for the most part, learning some of this stuff from a book is not necessarily the most memorable. Whereas going through it this way and interacting with it and having somebody tell you a tale almost feels like how history used to be passed down, where
Yeah,
people would sit around a
absolutely.
campfire or whatever and they would tell stories, and this kind of narrative
Feels that
adventure,
way.
it has that kind of feel to it, and I really love that idea of being able to learn through stories. And I know, like, for my wife and I think our favorite types of books are historical fictions, where they take place during a certain event at a certain place. And maybe the characters are fictitious or, like in this game, it's based on a real character and real events. But obviously, like, the stuff that happened in between, we probably don't actually know. So some of that is inferred, and that's where the historical fiction comes from. And I like that concept a lot.
I love it. When I was a kid, I used to play a lot of PC games, and there was one game that I loved playing. It was called "Where in the World Is Carmen Sandiego?"
Oh,
I'm sure you've heard
yes.
of it, but there was a specific version of it where it took you to different time periods in the world. So, like ancient Egypt, when like the
Yes.
first when Neil Armstrong went into space, like when Beethoven made his first symphony or whatever. Like there was all these different things, and you got to like interact with the people of that time, and it was just so much fun. Like I learned so much about history, and I totally agree with you. Like when you learn it in a more interactive way, it sticks with you more. It makes you have so much more fun in the process. So yeah, I totally agree with you. I hope that this will get used as a way to help young kids learn. I think this is really amazing. But enough of us talking. We're gonna let you listen to the interview, which, oh my gosh, what a dream. What a privilege. It was so
It was very
wonderful.
cool.
But we're going to end the podcast here and let you guys listen to it. So before we end it, Nick, what was the thing that made you happy this last week?
I'll just stick with the VR theme. I've been playing more VR games with my son than ever, which is just, it's so much fun. Like, it's,
I love that.
It's fun to not necessarily play pretend, you know, it's like, that's something I feel like you do when they're real little, but now it's like a different way of bonding with him and going through different adventures and different things. And it's just, it's a cool new way to have quality time with him.
I love that. And you can change your answer when I say mine if you want, but I know we're not supposed to talk about work, but what a privilege to speak with Lucy Liu and Eloise Singer. I mean, they were both so, that truly did just make my entire like month, week,
yeah,
whatever.
No, for sure.
It's really, really nice when you get to speak to people who are so humble and like they don't make you feel anxious or, you know, any other way. And it was really funny because Nick and I were talking about how neither of us are going to go on camera because we're not recording ourselves. And I literally look a hot mess because I'm in the process of moving, and Nick, his basement, he felt uncomfortable because it was messy. And the minute we get onto the Zoom call, Lucy's like, are you guys going to have your cameras on? And it was just so cute. Like, she was like, I just want to see your faces. And we really, you know what, despite,
it was nice.
It was nice. It really did feel like just talking to your friend. And that was really fun because she was, at least for me, and just such an inspiration growing up, to see her play such iconic roles in movies. And just speaking to Eloise and being a woman and the things that she's trying to do, it just feels really good. So that was definitely a highlight for me. Okay, that being said, wherever you are, whether it's morning, afternoon, or night, thank you so much for taking the time and listening to us. And we really, really hope you enjoy the interview about the Pirate Queen. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
See ya.
So, Nick, are you excited? We're with Eloise and Lucy right now, which is so exciting. So thank you so much for being here with us. Nick, why don't you start and take away with some of those questions?
All right, sure. So I guess first I just wanted to know, like, have you been able to play through the game? Did you enjoy anything in particular about the game itself?
Thanks for having us on the show. We're really excited to be here. I have to say that Eloise has developed this very intricate puzzle of a game that is not one of those shoot 'em up games, which is what I appreciate so much about it, and that it's based on a character that existed in the 1800s. She's kind of a badass.
She's an incredible badass.
She's a pirate, which is, she was one of the most powerful pirates in the world, more so than
Blackbeard. And she commanded 70,000 people during the lead up to the Opium Wars, which was
quite a fleet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think that the game, you know, for someone who's not as accustomed to playing VR at first, was a little bit disorienting. But I think as you play, I can really see why people are so obsessed with being in that experience, because it is immersive, but it's also a very personal experience, because when you watch a movie, you're watching characters and you can feel like you can relate to them and you love the experience and your body is feeling certain things like, oh my God, excitement or tension or, you know, the thrills. But when you're in the actual experience itself, it's very different because you are a character in that. And that's something that I found was quite different and strange, you know, because your hands are the hands that are in the game itself, but they're not really your hands. So this is a very strange experience. And Eloise, I think you created something really significant by being so accurate to the production design of that time. And, you know, I was saying earlier that it also feels like it's not just the visual and the sound. It's more like you almost feel like you can smell and feel the temperature of that space as well.
I think what's so amazing, as Lucy says, is you are literally stepping into the shoes of the Pirate Queen. And that's an experience that you can't have in any other medium. Like that just happens in VR, which is so extraordinary. And one thing that we found when we first started developing the Pirate Queen is female hands in VR didn't actually exist at the time when we started developing the game. So you have male hands and you have generic hands, but you don't have female hands. And
That's quite telling right there.
yeah, it shows that the space is designed for a certain person. So we created these hands from scratch, and it meant that we could create really dirty fingernails and we could create scars, and we designed bespoke rings that we put on her hands as well to really amplify the fact that she was the Pirate Queen. And interestingly, when we first began, we actually had some kickback of people saying, oh, if you put ha rings on hands, then it's gonna make male players not want to play the game. And
Oh.
we obviously leant into it and really wanted to showcase the fact that, you know, she was the Pirate Queen and she was this phenomenal figure. So, yeah, it definitely feels like we were breaking new ground.
Yeah, and that actually leads us right into the next couple of questions, and I'm so glad that you brought that up. So, Lucy, I know you've obviously, I mean, who doesn't know you? You've played some incredibly iconic female roles in Kill Bill, Charlie's Angels. You've also voiced for Kung Fu Panda. The team said that the Pirate Queen will be expanding into film, TV, and graphic novel. Why did you choose to start with VR first? And then I also want to lead into what you guys were just talking about how the VR space is such a male-dominated space. How did it make you feel to be playing such an iconic pirate and an iconic role in this VR game? And do you hope that that will make more women create more characters or play more VR games?
Wonderful questions. I'm going to start with, I think there's only about 20% of female leads in VR in games in general. And, that explains why Eloise and Singer Studios had to create, female hands. I think there's a disparity between what people think they want and what people are willing to try. And if you don't put it out there, they're never going to know. And it's not about the whole idea of an immersive experience is to be immersed in something other than where we are, So it's about escapism. And that's also why entertainment is and has been, and especially during the pandemic, was so popular. You want to sort of get away and be somewhere else and or find something that relates to you that you can experience so you don't feel alone. So for me, I can't answer the question about why VR first because Eloise, and I'll just tip it just a smidge, she started this idea of the Pirate Queen as a film. And because the pandemic hit, she then pivoted towards thinking about outside the box and then creating this experience, which is actually harder in some ways because it's 360 degree. As well as the technology and the, I don't know, I think production value when you're doing a film, you at least, there's one side where the crew is and then there's the other side where you're filming. And in this world, it's actually much harder to create those visuals. And I take my hat off to her and her team because I think it's a breakthrough in understanding that there are other female heroes and heroines out there that do exist and that were forgotten. And she's not the only pirate queen. There's other pirate queens from different cultures, countries, but also that she's the most powerful pirate queen and it wasn't Blackbeard. I do think that's something that people would be blown away by. I think much like a lot of stereotypes out there, it's that the idea of the peg leg and the patch and the sword and the parrot. And this breaks that. And it's actually because it's based on real life, it actually creates a whole new genre, frankly, for pirates. I think Eloise, I'm going to hand it over to her about, how it started as a film and then, veered off into this. And it's clear that it's a franchise because with graphic novels, you can really go the distance with the visuals. And a lot of things, obviously, as we know, are start from material like for Marvel or for DC. And I think there's something very exciting and almost obvious about how this can become a franchise and is a franchise.
I mean, Lucy says it so beautifully. We started developing it as a film to begin with, and because of the pandemic, we didn't know what the future was going to hold. And so we then teamed up with a chap called Dr. Dave Ranyard, who used to be the head of PlayStation Studios in London, and started developing The Pirate Queen as a VR game. And I went to Dave and said, you know, I think this could be amazing, the opportunity to climb up the side of pirate ships and row through treacherous water and navigate through moonlit cabins. I mean, what better experience than to do that in VR? And the more that we started thinking about it, the more it made sense to develop it as a VR experience. So it definitely was a pivot. And I'm so proud that we did, because it has been way more of a challenge to develop something that is a bit like 3D chess. You never know what a player is going to do in VR, and you always have to kind of anticipate. And that, as a storyteller, is really, really exciting.
I think also the idea that is quite remarkable is that, people are so used to combat and weaponry and, explosion and damage. And I can see why that's exciting. But in some ways, when you do create something for VR that is not that, it's actually harder. Because what are you going to do? What are you going to do to excite the player and to have them continue playing the game? So
Absolutely.
it's special because it's not that.
Yeah, I think we do something that's a lot more innovative, and we lean into the idea that this was set in history, and these puzzles are puzzles that are inspired by history. And we are the first VR game that is then being launched into a franchise. I mean, you have mainstream console games like The Last of Us or The Witcher, which you can see have blossomed into TV series and films, but this has never happened with VR before. So to be at the forefront of that and to be paving the way is really exciting as well.
Very much like the Pirate Queen.
Like The Pirate
I'm going to dub you the
Queen.
Pirate Queen of modern day.
Will
That's
take that.
great.
You're the London Pirate
The London Pirate Queen.
That's great. And actually, what you were saying about hands earlier was, I think, the first thing I noticed when I went in. Because I think a lot of people, when they go into VR, they look at their hands first. It's kind of a shtick in VR trailers, too, right? So seeing that and having that like extra immersion factor was I thought really cool to me.
How did that feel for you when you looked at your hands?
It made me feel like I was playing a character, right? Rather than just, oh, it's me in a game again. Just sort of doing the same kind of thing. And I guess in that regard, like this is not a hack and slash game. This is a narrative adventure. And I thought that was also really cool. I wanted to know like how you sort of arrived at that design and what made you decide on that style over just, hey, we're going to fight a bunch of sword battles or, whatever you might come up with, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Bunch of swashbucklers.
just like swashbucklers from the beginning. It very much was our intention from the start, in honesty. It really, we wanted to go and creating an experience that we could share with parents and say, listen, your kids can play this and there's not any violence in it. You're not going to see them stabbing and killing someone else. And because I think when I was growing up, if I had known that the most powerful pirate in history was a woman, it would have hugely changed my perception of gender roles and gender dynamics. And I really wanted that for the next generation. So it was very much one of the pillars that we started with when we designed the experience. And it definitely was a creative risk. But it's something that I'm so proud of, and proud that our team really backed and got behind, because we have created something that is a lot more nuanced, and it doesn't lean into those tropes or cliches. And instead, we've created something that is about a really complicated character who is very multifaceted and interesting. And the detail that we've created in that ship, and we've really lent into the historical accuracy, means that you can navigate that space, and it's the only space in the world really that you can step back into 19th century China.
So Eloise, you have to tell them about how when they had first developed the ship and created it, they, went and did some research and referenced experts, and then they said, oh, wait a minute, the ship is all wrong. They're like, what? What do you mean? Tell them the story about that.
So what happened was, we started building the ships, and like any sort of normal human, we thought that ships were built with wood and nails. And so we built all of these ships with wood and nails, and we sent it to our researchers, because for this project we brought on researchers and sensitivity checkers and historical accuracy specialists. And so we sent them the build for the ship, and they came back and they were like, oh, well, actually, we didn't use nails in China at that time. We used dovetail joints. So our artists had to go away and take out every single nail from all of
the ships. Oh my goodness.
Wow. Wow.
Instead, replace it with dovetail joints. But it's just a beautiful example of that you can never assume. And that level of detail really is what brings a game and an experience alive. And that was exactly what we sort of started with in our intention all along. And so to see it kind of come all the way and come to fruition with so much detail has been really rewarding.
I think most people would be like, you know what? It's not in the budget. Forget it. Let's move on. But I think that's what's so wonderful about this is that, you know, you really cared enough and were sensitive enough to do that and to know that and to even, you know, reach out and try to be as historically accurate. I think when you're building a game that's not based in history like this one, you can sort of be like, you know what, put it in the publicity budget. But I think that's what's so, I don't know, that makes it even more important.
Special, very special. Yeah. We're at time, but I want to ask you our question. I have to ask it because that's tradition for our podcast. What was the thing that made you happy this past week for both of you?
Being in New York, of course. It's one of my favorite places in the world.
I introduced my son to Star Wars this week.
Wow.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. That's
so
amazing.
The first one that was like 1977, he's like, what is this?
That's great.
An iconic moment.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know. I was like, trust me.
Amazing.
That was a big deal.